All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Shaila of the Week shiur. This past week, one of the Balabatim in our shul, he came over to me on Friday night, and he said that he was hosting a group of 8th graders for Shabbos as part of some 8th grade Shabbaton. I don't think he really knew them. He was just serving as a host. And whoever sent him the 8th grade boys instructed him to have breakfast for them on Shabbos morning. And he came over to me on Friday night to wish me a good Shabbos, and he said, is it permitted for me to leave out the food for the 8th graders? After all, they are bar mitzvah, and there's an isur to eat before davening. So am I allowed to put out the food, or would that be considered a problem of lifnei iver? So we're going to discuss that shaila together. And again, there are two issues that we need to elaborate on, two issues that we need to investigate. The first one is the prohibition to eat before davening, the Isser Achila Kodem Shachris. Where does that Isser come from? What is the reason for the Isser? What is the scope of the Isser? In what cases does it apply? In what cases does it not apply? Hopefully, from there, we can glean some of the information we need to answer this Shaila. And the second issue is, would the prohibition of lifnei iver or misayeya lidei ovrei avera, would that apply in this case of leaving out food for guests to eat prior to shachris? So let's begin with issue number one, eating before shachris. The Gemara Brachos and Daf Yudim Beis, we're learning Brachos this year. So the Gemara Brachos quotes Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that from the pasuk lo sochlu al hadam, we should not eat when the blood is still in the meat. That's the literal interpretation of the pasuk. Lo sochlu al adam. We use that pasuk also to teach lo sochlu kodem shetispalalu al dimchem. You should not eat prior to davening for your own blood. Meaning that the first thing you should do is daven for your livelihood, for your sustenance, for your life, and then afterwards you can eat yourself. So from there, we derive a prohibition to eat prior to davening. The Gemara also quotes Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in the next line as saying that whoever eats before he davens is considered to be acting with gaiva. He's considered to be acting haughtily before HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's prioritizing his own needs before Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. He puts himself before his acceptance of the yoke of heaven. So it's very clear, it's eminently clear from the Gemara Brachos Yoramid Beis that there is such an isur to eat prior to davening. And the Shulchan Aruch, by no surprise, in Arachayim, Simit Peites, Siv Gimel, codifies this halacha. However, he qualifies that there are certain exceptions, namely, one is allowed to have water prior to davening, and one can also eat and drink for purposes of refuah, for his own health, meaning if he needs to do so for his health, if he's a chole, so then he can eat and drink prior to tefillah as well. We'll talk about other exceptions coming up, but that's just what the Shulchan Aruch writes, black on white. So the first question that I want to address in terms of this din is, what is the stature of this isur? Is this an isur de oraisa or an isur de rabbanon? The Minchas Chinuch infers from the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches that this is an isur de oraisa, because the Sefer Achinuch includes it in the mitzvah of lo sochlu al adam. Lo sochlu al adam is a pasuk in Torah. However, most of the Achronim and even the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, Brachos, Heyam and Aleph, and the Dapei Arev, the Beis Yosef, and Arachayim Peites, they all assume that this Isor is derabbanon. Therefore, halach lemaisa, we assume that this Isor is derabbanon. When it comes to the reasoning for this Isor, there are really two different ways that we could approach it. The first is to say that there is, again, as we saw in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov quotes the pasuk of Lo Sochlu al Adam to say that you're not allowed to eat prior to davening. And then he also says that there's an issue of gaiva when you eat prior to davening. Are those two separate ideas, or are they one idea? So the pashtus is that they're really one idea. After all, the same person is quoted as saying both. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the author of both of those statements. So the pashtus is that this is really one idea, and the way that we would formulate it is as follows. There's a gaiva, there's a haughtiness to eating before davening, and since there's a haughtiness to eating before davening, Chazal, based on that haughtiness, assert eating before davening. Meaning the gaiva, the problem of gaiva, causes an isur achila. So if that's the case, then whatever is not considered gaiva, Yosef Shel, will not be included in the Isser Achila. That then explains, says the Beis Yosef, why water is permitted. Because drinking water is not considered an act of gaiva. It's not an act of gaiva. Therefore, it's not included in the Aser Achila. Because the Aser Achila rests only upon that which is a problem of gaiva. That takes care of water. And also, the Ma'ari Abuav says that the same thing is true for refuah. If you're taking care of your own health needs, that's not really prioritizing your own hana'a to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just saying, in order to daven, this is what I need, because otherwise it won't be healthy. Okay. However, the Bir Halacha, surprisingly, actually turns this into two separate reasons. There's one ta'am hadin, one reason for the Iser to eat is because you can't eat before you daven. It's a priorities issue. The second is that there's an expression of gaiva. And the Bir Halacha actually has an afkamina between the two reasons. It says the second reason, the Gemara said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, that you can't do something haughty before Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. What's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? Says the Bir Halacha, Kriyashma. Kriyashma is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So says the Bir Halacha, according to reason number two, if I say Shema before I eat, then taka I can eat. But according to reason number one, which is that I have to daven before I eat, so that I can't eat even if I said Kriyashma, I have to daven Shmona Esrei. So based on this, we would say that Kriyashma generally would not be sufficient. All things being equal, you can't just say Kriyashma and then have a fancy breakfast. You have to daven first. However, the Bi'ar Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah, same person, of course, the Chafetz Chaim, so he writes that in cases when you are going to eat prior to davening, because of refuah, if you're a chole, so at the very least, you should say Kriyashma first. Because that way, you have the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. How much of Kriyashma? Poskim debate. The consensus seems to be that just saying the first line and the first paragraph so that you do a Maisa of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, that would be sufficient. And some posts can even say to have in mind not to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Because you're not saying Kriyashma to fulfill the mitzvah. You're just saying Kriyashma to do an act of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim to allow you to then eat. Again, that would only apply in a circumstance where we would allow you to eat Me'ikar Adin, namely like a Cholet. So when all the dust settles, halacha l'maisa, what do we have before us in terms of this Isur? So the default is that it's usher to eat prior to davening. The exceptions to that would be items that are not considered to be a gaiva, such as water, or also, very popularly, coffee or tea. The Mishnah Berurah discusses whether milk can be added to the coffee, and the later post can say that bizman hazeh, it's so normal to have milk and sugar together with one's coffee that that's not considered to be like a delicacy, rather that's considered to be a normal way to have coffee, and therefore one would be permitted to have coffee prior to davening, al tanai, on condition that the drinking of that coffee is not to really bask in the delight of the coffee, but rather to allow you to concentrate for tefillah, to wake you up and allow you to concentrate. And in addition, ketanim, those below the age of bar mitzvah, even if they have been magia legil chinuch, are not included in this iser, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Vav Sif Hei. However, where does that leave us in terms of our shaila? Our shaila was eighth grade boys, mistama, are bar mitzvah. So they're included in the iser. And mistama, this balabas who asked the shaila, he wasn't just leaving out coffee and water. Probably what they wanted him to leave out was some gishmaka cereal, some ragalach, something like that. So what would be the heter to allow for the eighth grade boys to eat this cereal now, or to eat the ragalach? Now, if they're a chole, so fine, that's one thing. But again, all things being equal, they're not a chole. The isur would apply to the group of bar mitzvah boys. Which leads us to our next issue, which is, even if the boys themselves are not aware of this Isur, and they're going to have the food prior to davening, does that then make it an issue of Lifnei Iver for the head of the household to leave the food out on the kitchen table for the boys to then take on Shabbos morning? So now we need to delve into the second issue, which is the prohibition of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. The Pasuk tells us that Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, one is not allowed to place a stumbling block before the blind. And what that means is that one is not allowed to cause another to do an Isur. Now, when does this Isur apply? So Tosos and Avodah Zarah, Daf Vav Amid Beis, makes it clear that the Iser de Oraisa, the biblical prohibition of Lifnei Iver Yitz, it applies only in a case of Shnei Ibra Dinara, Trei Ibra Dinara, which means two sides of a river. Two sides of a river? What does that have to do with anything? So what that means is that if I'm on one side of a river and I have the Iser, and the other person, Etiel, is on the other side of the river, so I cannot then cause Etiel to come get the Isur. Because without me, Etiel would not have had access to the Isur. Meaning I provided the access to the Isur. That's an Avera d'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver. Trei Ibra Dinara. Where we're separated by a river, he wouldn't be able to get to the Isur if it weren't for me. However, Chad Iver Dinahar, if we're both on the same side, which means if I didn't give him this Isur, he could have gone to a lot of other places to get it. Okay, I happened to be the one who gave it to him. But he could have gone a lot, he could have gone to many other places to get it, says Tosfos, no Iser d'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver in that case. However, we're not done yet. Because Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Gimel and Aleph says that there is still an Iser d'Rabbanan to provide someone with an Iser even when they could get it elsewhere. Why? Because we are not allowed to provide people with Isurim. We have to be mafrish mino Isur. We have to separate people from Isurim. We can't be misaye alidei ovrei avera. We can't assist and enable people to do averos. So Toso says that there would be such an Isur dirabbanon to provide the Isur even if the person can get it elsewhere. Now, what exactly is our case? So our case is probably Trei Ibra Dinara. Why? Because Rav Moshe writes in Arachayim Chelekei Simin Yud Gimel that if you give food to someone else for free, that's not something that the recipient would be able to get elsewhere. If he was going to get food, he would have to pay for it. So if I give it to him for free, then that's considered me giving him access to food that he would not have otherwise had. So in this case of the breakfast, where they're staying at my house and they're not paying me, I'm just leaving out the food for them to enjoy, that's a matnas chinam, that's free, and that would probably be considered Trei Ibra Dinara. So that means that fundamentally, the possibility of Lifnei Iver applying in this case, that does apply. So what exceptions do we have to the Isur of Lifnei Iver? Do we have any exceptions that could possibly allow for this case? So Rav Moshe Sternbach in Shuvos Van Hagos Chelek Aleph Simen Tav Pei Gimel says that if you're doing it in order to be Mekariv, then Lifnei Iver is not going to apply. Because the whole idea of Lifnei Iver is that you're setting someone up on the wrong path. But if the whole kunz is to do Kiruv, right? So then you're trying to correct their path. You're trying to set them up on the right path. Now, I'm not so sure that would apply in this case. We're not dealing with boys who are beged their rechokim. We're dealing with boys who, they're beshogeg. They don't know that there's an Iser to eat before davening. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a famous truva in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simin Lamed Hei, who says that if withholding food is going to cause more sinas Yisrael, that it's better to give the food than to have the guy think poorly of Klal Yisrael. What's the scenario? So the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Simen Kuf Samach Tes Siv Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes that it's forbidden to give food to someone if you know that they're not going to say a bracha. So what if you were to have an electrician come to your house, and the electrician is Taka Jewish, but he's not from... Can you give him water to drink? So it's a menschlich thing to do, to give water to the electrician. But he's not going to make a bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to give food to someone if they're not going to make a bracha. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes that in this case, we would allow you to give the water. Why? Because if you don't give the water, especially if everybody else does give the water, if the minhag is to give water, and you don't give the water, what's he going to say? He's going to say, oh, those stingy yidden. They don't want to even give me the water. When I come to their house, I spend 2 hours sweating, trying to fix their AC. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's better for me to give him the water, for him to be over and not making a bracha, than it is for me to cause him to have sinah for the rest of Klal Yisrael. But again, I'm not so sure that's going to happen in this case. If we don't leave out the breakfast for the eighth graders, they might be upset. I don't think they're probably going to reach conclusions of being Sona Yisrael. We certainly hope not, that not having breakfast on Shabbos morning wouldn't lead them to such conclusions. So I'm not sure if that's going to help us. So what else do we have to help us in this case? Well, Rav Vosner in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Aleph Simen Reish HaEzik, so he says that if there's a suffik whether the person is going to be over an Avera, then Lifnei Iver doesn't apply. Meaning, if I give food to someone who's not from, I know, Bivados, he's not going to make a bracha. He doesn't even know how to make a bracha. He doesn't know what a bracha is. But if there's a suffik, maybe the person will be over, maybe not, then there's no Isur of Lifnei Iver. Now, could we draw up a suffik in the case of eating before davening? Maybe. Because what would happen if the boys decided, you know what, I'm really hungry this morning, so I'm going to daven biyachidus myself, I'm going to daven shacharis, and then I'll have the breakfast. It'd be mutter to have the breakfast in that case. Now, they would have to make kiddush, so maybe we should tell the person to leave out some grape juice also so that they can make kiddush. But if the boys decided, you know, I'm just really hungry, I can't wait, so I'm going to daven myself, it would then be mutter for them to have the food. So it's not automatic that they're going to be over on the Isur. Now, in Achinami, maybe that's a tzad rachuk, maybe it's a little bit far-fetched to assume that that they would daven on their own before eating the food, but I'm just mentioning it as a possibility. Probably the best tzad lahakel comes from the Shaul Suchuvos Toras Chesed, Rabbi Schneir Zalman of Lublin, lived in the 1800s. He was named after the Baal HaTanya, and he was a close student of the Tzemach Tzedek. He was part of the Lubavitch tradition. And the Shaul Suchuvos Toras Chesed, he suggests that that the Isur of Lifnei Iver is not going to apply to an Isur Derabbanan. And again, we're talking about an Isur Derabbanan in this case, right? Because what's the Isur? Eating before davening. We said that we paskin that's an Isur Derabbanan. So he said it's not going to apply to an Isur Derabbanan when the food itself, pay attention to this, when the food itself is not intrinsically usur. Is there anything wrong with the ragalach? There's nothing wrong with the ragalach. It's the context that makes the achila forbidden. Since he didn't daven before, therefore he can't eat the ragalach. So it's a contextual isur. There's no intrinsic isur in the ragalach. We're not talking about ma'achalos asuros. We're not talking about forbidden items. We're talking about a forbidden situation, a forbidden context. Says the Toras Chesed that in that case, the only problem would be if you mamish handed him the ragalach into his hands, or you fed it into his mouth. But leaving it on the table, there would be no issue in that case. So says the Toras Chesed, and I've seen quoted in the name of Rav Schechter and Rav Asher Weiss, I haven't asked them personally, but I've seen quoted in their name that we can rely on that leniency of the Toras Chesed, that when the food is just left out, but it's not actually given, it's not put on the plate, it's not given to the hand, then there would not be a violation. Not everybody accepts that leniency. Rav Eliashiv was stringent, but that is probably our best tzad lahakel. So halacha lamaisa, sof kol sof, what are we going to say? What are the tzadim lahakel that we have? Number one, we have the Toras Chesed, that placing the food on the table is mutter, because the Isur is not intrinsic to the food, but rather it's a contextual Isur. And we also, number two, have potential sfeikos of whether the Isur is going to be violated. Number one, perhaps the boys will know that they have to daven first, they'll daven shacharis first, and they'll make kiddush together, and then eat. Number two, the Chavos Ya'ir of Shlomo Zalman quotes, says that if you eat less than a kizayis, that would also be mutter, because that's not considered a derech gaiva. If you eat less than a kezayis, that's like a little thing. That's not considered a real achila. And in a case where someone's very, very hungry and can't concentrate on davening without eating, so we would allow him to eat less than a kezayis. Again, we would tell him that it would be better to daven biyachidus, daven biyachidus. But if he absolutely has to eat, we would tell him to eat less than a kezayis if he can. So says the Chavos Ya'ir. So we have the Toras Chesed of just placing the food, as well as potential sfeikos. And therefore, I would say that I think that, of course, we should educate our bar mitzvah boys to refrain from eating breakfast prior to davening. All bar mitzvah boys should know that we do not eat prior to davening other than the items that we mentioned at the beginning of this year, water, coffee. However, there's much room to argue that in this case, the isur of lifnei iver would not be violated just by placing the breakfast on the table when hosting them. Probably would be best not to say outright, here's the breakfast for you when you wake up. But if you just leave it on the table, again, you could also argue that he's leaving it on the table for his own family, for his wife and kids. We said for kids, certainly they're allowed to eat prior to davening. And for one's wife, there's a lot more room for leniency if she just says brachos, because perhaps that would constitute her kiyum of tefillah. So again, if you could draw it up so that the food is not directly... It's not only servicing the boys, but it's servicing other people as well. Plus, we have the other tzadim, the haka that we mentioned earlier. I think there's a good case to be made that lifnei iver is not violated in this case, even though, of course, we should educate our bar mitzvah boys about the value of davening prior to eating and putting the needs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before our personal needs. Wish everyone a good Shabbos.